today on Real Radio.
God has reasons for what he does. And he doesn't ask us if we would agree with them or not. God is sovereign, God moves, and he's got a plan. And that's where you and I struggle. We struggle with God's plan, let's be honest. We're Christians, we love the Lord, and we're following him. But let's be honest, we struggle with his plan.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Always God at Work, Part 2, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. The prophet Isaiah is well known for both his near and far prophecies. God used him to warn Judah and the city of Jerusalem of coming judgment if they don't turn from their sin. But God also gave him visions far into the future, the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In Isaiah chapters 18 and 19, we learned about Ethiopia and Egypt's role during the end times. God's judgment is on Egypt in particular because of its treatment of Israel throughout history. This also explains why Egypt continues to suffer to this very day. When a nation forgets God, he lifts his hand of blessing and removes his umbrella of protection. Now, continuing in chapter 19, we'll see how Isaiah's prophecies cover the entire world, and even more so as the end approaches. So today, Pastor Jack tells us that God has a reason for everything he does, and always has a plan. He's at work in the nations of the world as well as in our own personal lives. That's why it's important never to lose hope. God will equip us for all that we go through, and his promises will never fail us. And now in his lesson called Always God at Work, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Isaiah chapter 19, powerful portion of scripture, somewhat as Isaiah is somewhat hard to track at times because, as I mentioned last time, he goes from the immediate now, as many of the prophets of God in the Old Testament did, the immediate now, he's speaking forth to the issue at hand there in Judah, in what we would say today, southern Israel. There's the northern kingdom and there's the southern kingdom. Judah's the southern kingdom. Isaiah is speaking to the southern kingdom, though he's obviously a greatly respected prophet to the northern kingdom as well, but his ministry was directed to the south. And in doing that, he's prophesying immediate things, but things that were yet to come, and then ultimately things that would be the culmination. And this is part two of a message that we saw last time entitled, Always God at Work. Always God at Work. And chapter 18, we just breezed through it, and those seven verses or so was just something where God is speaking to. It's a very difficult portion of scripture, chapter 18, where he's speaking to Ethiopia. Isaiah is being prompted by God to speak regarding the judgments of the nations. And he speaks judgment about the area or the nation of his day of Ethiopia. And he ended down in the seventh verse where there was this statement where in the end, in that day, there would be the gathering together of the Ethiopian to worship the Lord. That's in the end. That's in the millennium. And Isaiah is going to do the same thing tonight again, as we saw in the opening part of chapter 19. He's going to go into a millennium talk. So part two of our message tonight is chapter 19, verses 1 to 24. And again, much of this we studied last time, but we're looking at God at work for his reasons. God has reasons for what he does. And he doesn't ask us if we would agree with them or not. God is sovereign, God moves, and he's got a plan. And that's where you and I struggle. We struggle with God's plan, let's be honest. We're Christians, we love the Lord, and we're following him. But let's be honest, we struggle with his plan. And you know that's by design. Because if you didn't struggle with his plan, I'm not saying that you're resisting his plan, though sometimes we do, don't we? Let's be honest, don't look at me like that. Sometimes we resist his plan. We want him to tell us what's going on. When something does happen, we upset. How come this is happening? Oh God, why is this happening to me? Well, in all honesty, why isn't it happening to you? Right? Come think about it. We somehow think that, you know, this has got to be different for me. God's got a plan. And we have a very dangerous thing that as believers we could fall into if we're not biblical. And that is this, that if we begin to see what God's doing in our nation or in our lives or in our own heart, and if we view it as something common, then we get kind of weird about it. What's happening? Oh no, I'm going to lose hope. I don't understand. Listen, the reason why it's got to be this way is because it is required of us to walk in faith. God has given, the Lord has given us promises, exceedingly great and precious promises that do not exempt us out of the trials. Did you hear me? They equip us to go through the trials. We have the promises of God working with us and for us in all that you and I encounter. And for that, we are very grateful. God's word never fails. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9 and 10. Listen to these strong words. The Lord is speaking. Remember the former things of old. That's a strong word. Remember. He's saying, remember. I'm going to call you now to bear witness of this. For I am God, and there is no other. By the way, listen, my friends, if you're in a religious group that believes there's other gods, that word in Hebrew, he's saying, I'm God, and there ain't no other gods. None. Yeah. I am God, and there's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done. Don't you love that kind of talk? God says, I tell you stuff before it ever happens. Listen, Bible students, you know that that's true, and only the Bible does that. No other book of the world can do that. Only the Bible. He goes on, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void. Oh, we need to hear that tonight. Pray Bible over your kids. Pray Bible over your wife, over your husband, over your city, over your school. Why? Bible. Pray Bible. God says, my word will not return void. Bible. Everything else will fail. Bible. But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God's word will never fail. A little bit of an example of this. Some of you were with us on the Footsteps of Paul tour that we did some years ago, and we came to the Areopagus in Greece. Beautiful setting. And in Acts chapter 17, verse 22 and in verse 26, the Bible tells us, then Paul stood up in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. He's looking around that beautiful mountaintop location there in Greece. It's quite prominent. And he, verse 26, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. What is that verse all about? That he's announcing that God governs over nations. They rise and they fall. They come and they go under the watchful eye of God. And Isaiah is speaking to Egypt, as we learned last time and we'll see again tonight. And God is announcing, imagine, from their great glory, tremendous empire, God is saying that they're going to suffer and they're going to become just a fragment of what they once were. God raises up nations, God brings them down. Is God in the midst of bringing America down? I am absolutely convinced of it. I know it's political season. I'm sorry to be a little, you know, Debbie Downer right now, but you know, when I hear a politician say, the best days of America are ahead. Are you kidding me? Ladies and gentlemen, that is impossible. It is impossible. Unless God. It is impossible unless God's people seek his face. It's impossible. God in all of his amazing attributes, and even in his declared word, which he never violates, you might conclude that if God is going to judge America, and he must, well, then there's no reason why we should pray or get involved. Now, that's where you go astray in your thinking for this reason. God pronounced judgment on Nineveh, did he not? And they're not even his people. They're a bunch of pagan worshiping crazies. But they listened to the message of Jonah. 40 days and Nineveh perishes. What an evangelistic message that was. Jonah walked around the city, 40 days and Nineveh perishes. And they heard it. And they were moved with conviction. And the king, all the way down to the animals, were wrapped in mourning and sackcloth and ashes. And they cried out to the God of the Jews that maybe he would spare their land. And what did God do? For 40 years, he withheld his judgment from them. This is the amazing thing about where we're at as a nation, is that if my people, God makes this promise to Israel, but it's also a promise to you, the believer. If my people will seek my face, humble themselves, pray, seek my face, I will hear from heaven and I'll come and I'll heal, cleanse their wicked land. I'll restore them. God's promised to do that. Here's the problem. Will we seek him? Very, very important, very serious. So Isaiah chapter 19, again, I'm gonna go quickly over this area and then get into where we left off. In chapter 19, verse 1, the burden against Egypt, behold, the Lord rides on a swift cloud. Don't you love that picture? And by the way, we don't know if Isaiah is seeing this in his mind, speaking it. Is this something that the Egyptians see? Personally, I don't think so. I think Isaiah is seeing God riding swiftly on the clouds. And I will come into Egypt. The idols of Egypt will totter at his presence, and the heart of Egypt will melt in its midst. Egypt will be terrified within itself. Verse 2. This is amazing. I will set Egyptian against Egyptian. Everyone will fight against his brother, and everyone against his neighbor, city against city, kingdom against kingdom. You know, after the Egyptian empire began to totter and weaken, this is a great commentary on Egypt's history. But you look at most recently for you and I, the Arab Spring, which turned out to be the Islamic flood, or the Islamic winter. Look what it did to Egypt. Now, right now, Egypt is doing remarkably well right now, and considering, but there was brother against brother. They were killing each other a few years ago. But that's always been the cycle. You see, is that always the way it's always going to be for Egypt? Egypt has a special place in the heart of God, and it's revealed in this chapter. Verse 3, the spirit of Egypt will fail in its midst. I will destroy their counsel. And they will consult the idols and charmers, the mediums and sorcerers. They will go into deep spiritual darkness. Now, you guys, we covered this all the way up to verse 16. Look at verse 16. In that day, everybody circle that word, or those three words. Now, when the Bible says, in that day, or at that time, you're speaking about end time events. This is a biblical fact. In that day, that means we're looking at something out into the future. This is beyond Isaiah's day. He's talking about future. In that day, Egypt will be like women who are afraid and fear because of the waving of the hand of the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies. Wow. Egypt is going to tremble because they're going to see that the God of heaven is at work. Something's going on, and it's terrifying. But watch this. Listen to the hope. By the way, if you're not a Christian tonight, listen to this. They're terrified. Yes, God is moving, or he's going to move in the future, which he waves over it. Verse 17, and the land of Judah will be a terror to Egypt. Has that ever happened? Has Egypt ever been terrified of Israel? My goodness. Egypt was terrified of Israel when they were slaves and Moses was there performing the miracles. The Pharaoh eventually became terrified of the Jewish people, sent them out. So there's one account. But what's amazing about this is On May 14th, 1948, when Israel became a nation in one day, just as Isaiah said they would, that within 24 hours, the surrounding neighborhood of nations went to war against Israel to destroy it. Are you aware of that? They were born as a nation on May 14, 1948, and on May 15th, there was war. And when you look at the subsequent, I encourage you to do this, when you look at the following wars of Israel, there's a great series put out, I believe it's called 60 Years War. It's a great historical series that, against all odds, Israel wins when they fight. And the Egyptian Air Force, at one point, they were going to, I forget what war it was, 67 or 73, I forget which one it was, but Egypt was going to annihilate Israel, and before Egyptian airplanes could even get off the air bases, Israel had decimated their air force. And no, nobody could figure out how this happened. How could this possibly be? There are tank battles where our recorded history, where one Israeli tank took out 40 Egyptian tanks because this one little Jewish dude was in a tank and he was in a hole and he kept popping up and then he would shoot, boom, boom, and he would back up and turn around and pop it and boom, boom, and he was surrounded and he wound up in blowing up all these other tanks. And the radio, the actual communication of the tank commanders, it's actually a historical document. You can listen to it. It's recorded. And they're all talking about how many Jewish tanks are in that area. There must be so many. There must be tons of them. It was one guy in a tank, and he would shoot and then back up and turn around and then go up and shoot in all these directions. And they thought, holy cow, there's a lot of tanks right there. One guy. The Bible says God fights for Israel. Wow. He said, I don't like that. God didn't ask if you liked it or not. There is people. Do they drive people nuts sometimes? Yes. Are they hard to do a business deal with? Impossible. But God says, listen, basically, you know what, they're a tough nut people, which is very encouraging for us. I think, you know, if Paul the Apostle could sum up the book of Romans, he'd probably say, if God can save a Jew, he can save you. So that's very encouraging. It's amazing. There's going to be a day when Judah, Israel, will be a terror to Egypt. Everyone who makes mention of it will be afraid in himself. Fear will grip the Egyptian because of the counsel of the Lord of hosts, which he has determined against it. Now, this gets amazing. Look at verse 18. In that day, five cities in the land of Egypt will speak the language of Canaan. What's the language of Canaan? Hebrew. Isn't that wild? In the millennium, when Christ returns, the Bible tells us that those who are in Egypt are going to speak Hebrew. It doesn't mean they're Jews. It means they're going to speak Hebrew. Listen, mark this down in your Bible. You say, I don't believe it. It doesn't matter. Mark it down. It's going to happen. This is weird. Think about this. And swear by the Lord of hosts. In other words, the Egyptians are going to become believers. One will be called Heliopolis, which is the city of destruction. One city that's named the city of destruction is going to call upon the name of the Lord. It was written off by man in Egypt, but they're going to call upon the name of the Lord. You think about this. And I looked this up. You can check it out later, so don't believe a word that I'm about to say here. Hebrew as a language is pretty amazing for many reasons, but one of them is borders on miraculous. If not, I would add miraculous. There are very good arguments from linguists that suggest that Hebrew, by those who study languages, that Hebrew could have possibly been the original language of Earth itself. Isn't that interesting? Hebrew has been preserved and maintained since the beginning of man. One of the arguments for that is found in Genesis 11. Can you turn to Genesis 11 right now in your Bibles? Genesis 11, verse 1. And of course, Genesis 11 is the Tower of Babel. 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 Verse 1. Now the whole earth had what? One language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, that's man, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. and they dwelt there. By the way, Shinar is archaeologically a fact. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. This is a side note, but a guy by the name of Rockefeller? I think it's Rockefeller. Rockefeller read this in the Bible, right here. One man read this in the Bible and stopped, and he said, asphalt? You can't have asphalt unless you have oil. Go search this and see. It's fascinating. How was oil discovered in the Middle East? Rockefeller read his Bible. It's all written down. And said, let's go over there and stick a straw in the ground and see what happens. Change the world. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. This is, by the way, not good. Sounds like an amusement park. It's not a good thing. Let us make a name for ourselves. Translation is, let's be independent from God. We're done with him. We'll build their own city. Man, I wish we had the time tonight to get into the negative side of man building cities. It's fascinating. It's remarkable. Anyway, it's not for tonight, though. And so the tower which the sons of men had built. Verse 6, and the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. Wouldn't you have loved to have seen that happen? So the Lord scattered them abroad from over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. I would just put forth tonight, it's not a big deal, but it's interesting that in the future, the Bible says that those of Egypt will speak the land of Canaan. It's very interesting that many linguists believe that the language spoken in the beginning was Hebrew to begin with. Did Adam and Eve speak Hebrew? Well, we can't prove it, but we know this, that up until Babel, there was only one language. Isn't that kind of neat?
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Always God at Work, Part 2. Thanks for joining us today, and even when it looks like the world is in chaos, God is truly in control and always at work on our behalf. Always God at Work Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, as we study the prophetic book of Isaiah and consider all that's happening today, you may still have some questions about the issues you face in your daily walk with the Lord, and you may also be wondering how events will play out in the future. That's why Pastor Jack has some Q&A segments on his YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. These mini Q&A videos dive into questions about the rapture, or how should a Christian stand for truth in this liberal culture, or how do we pray according to God's will? There's also Q&A videos on how to prepare to give a defense of our faith, and also, how can we avoid isolation? There are a lot of videos to choose from when you subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Also, don't forget to click on the notifications icon to stay informed on all the latest videos. And if you need any more information, simply head over to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.